So this is second and hopefully final presentation here for this, This is the fall of 2011 semester. We'd like to thank the Aaron, Martha Isidore N., and Blanche Rosansky Contemporary Halacha Program for sponsoring tonight's year. We hope that they will sponsor many more in the future. Just a word to the wise, I do not guarantee that the only things I will ask on the test are things that we review in this Chazar Ashir. You are officially responsible for all of the Shi'urim. You are also responsible, and you should be chazaring the independent learning. You should go through the Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. We'll ask a few questions from that. The format of the test will be mostly multiple choice, a few short answer. And if I'm in the mood for some essay questions, I can do that, but generally I'm not in the mood because it means I have to read them. So that's the basic cheshbon. I'd like to begin tonight by reviewing Rav Schechter's shiur. Rav Schechter spoke about officially klolim in Hilchos Shabbos and how it is related to electricity. It's a very, very important topic. But Rav Schechter did not mention at all. He actually came over to me after the shiur and says, I forgot to mention the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish basically assumes that there's an Issur d'Oraisa to use electricity on Shabbos, because an Issur of Boner, or it's an Issur of Makab Patash of some sort, basically by setting up an electrical circuit, so I'm creating something new. The Chazon Ish writes, so that's like going me Mavis L'Chaim, that might be some sort of Issur of Boner Makab Patash, it's a real Issur d'Oraisa. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, at one point his mother needed a hearing aid, and he decided to look into the question. He spoke to some unnamed gedolim in Yerushalayim who are mekel to use the hearing aids on Shabbos, that there is no isser of electricity in this sort of way, or the only isser involved is going to be an isser d'rabbanan, but makom tzorach, it's okay. Reb Yitzchok Shmelkis in his tshuvas also assumes that the only isser involved in using electricity on Shabbos is an isser d'rabbanan. He compares it to like an isser of moled. In other words, that just like if I make seltzer, so I am taking plain water, I'm adding bubbles to it, and that's like making the water alive. Similarly, with electricity on Shabbos, the general consensus of Rav Schechter and most of the poskim today is that the use of electricity on Shabbos is aser, but it's not an issur d'oraisa, so we assume it's an issur d'rabbanan to use electricity on Shabbos. Fine. Now, when we say that electricity on Shabbos is assumed to be an Issur d'Rabbanan, not an Issur d'Oraisa, so we are talking about just creating a plain, ordinary circuit. Or creating a circuit that, let's say, has a fan, that the load at the end of the circuit is a fan. So it's just something turning around and around. However, the general assumption is that if the load on the circuit is a light bulb with a filament, so that's going to be an Issur d'Oraisa. That is our general assumption. In the tshuvos of the Chokas Yaakov, and now we're beginning with Schechter Shia for real, in the tshuvos of the Chokas Yaakov, so he quoted some who assumed that maybe there's only an Issur d'Rabbanan involved in a light with a filament. And in the Haskama, and Rav Schechter writes this on this Merkoros, like Haskamas in quotations, in the Haskama that Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer gives to the Chokas Yaakov, he first of all says, I'm not really giving a Haskama because I'm no longer a community rabbi. Apparently only community rabbis write Haskamas. I'm no longer a community rabbi, he says, so I can't write a Haskama on the Sefer. Moreover, he says, I have a Kabbalah from Reb Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, and he like bolds the name Reb Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, so like it sticks out of the page, that Chas v'Shalom lehistapek b'chomer ha'isser d'oraisa, Chas v'Shalom should you even be mesupik about the severity of the isser of light on Shabbos and Yontiv. It's assumed to be mamish and isser d'oraisa. That's what Reb Isser Zalman quotes from Reb Chaim Ozer. He doesn't really get into the details as to why it would be an Issur d'Oraisa and why those who have felt it's d'Rabbanan assume it's d'Rabbanan. When you get beneath the surface, those who were saying it's d'Rabbanan were arguing that everything that's usher on Shabbos is an avar, a tolda. And even the tolda has to be, the Gemara tells us at the beginning of Bava Kamma, something that took place in the Mishkan. Have to have a Mishkan is going to also be considered a tolda. So if something was not in the Mishkan at all, so it should not even be a tolda. And those who would argue that the use of electricity was permitted on Shabbos, it's because I don't want to burst anyone's bubble, but there was no electricity in the Mishkan. It just wasn't there. However, Lamaisa, this is not accepted. We assume there is an Issa Daraisa based on the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Amachamim is Hamateches, either an Issa of Havar or an Issa of Bishul. If I heat up a piece of metal until it becomes extremely hot, like red hot, so that's either Havara or it's Bishul. Now, even once we have this Rambam, which really sounds like it's a Daraisa, heating up metal, right? That's the filament inside the light bulb, is just a small piece of metal. Think Edison originally experimented with using human hair as the filament of his. If you go over there to Menlo Park, right near West Orange, it's a good day place, by the way. So if you go there to the Edison Museum, so you'll see what he experimented with for the filaments of his light bulbs. Originally, he tried to use human hair. It didn't work very well. Eventually, it came out to like metal. Metal taco works as a filament of a light bulb, so that's why it's an issue of mechamim esamateches. But even so, there are some who wanted to contend that, whoa, let's go slowly. If the issue of mechamim esamateches is because it's considered a bishul, so then maybe it's permitted to use a light bulb at least a second time that light bulb has ever been used, because that would be a din of ein bishul, achar bishul. We know the halacha is that by bishul, you're only chayiv if you do it the first time. The second time something is cooked, so we'll apply the principle of ein bishul achar bishul. So lechora, this is a chassidish joke. This doesn't really work. You can't say that ein bishul achar bishul would permit me to use a light bulb for a few reasons. One reason is that one of the rules we have, the Edward Tal points out, that we only apply the principle of ein bishul achar bishul to food items. When I'm talking about a non-food item, I don't assume ein bishul achar bishul, like ein tochin achar tochin. That's the context in the Egel Tal about grinding up dirt. There's a Gemara about grinding up dirt, or at least the way Rashi learns the Gemara is about grinding up dirt. How can you be chayiv? Shouldn't we assume ein tochin achar tochin? The answer is that no. The answer is that these principles only apply to food items, something that is non-food, so we won't apply ein bishul achar bishul. Moreover, even by food items, we have a principle called Ozolei Bishulei. How come I'm chayiv if I cook up water once the water was already cooked once? The terence is because whatever cooking was done to that water, Ashkenazim generally assume that you're chayiv. When you learn fourth year halacha l'maaseh, you'll get into this in great detail. There are certain poskim who assume, Rabbi Akiva Eger, and others assume that heating up water that's already been cooked on Shabbos might only be a Nisa D'Rabbanan, but the Pashtus is a Nisa D'Raisa, and the reason why the Pashtus is a Nisa D'Raisa is because it's Azalei Bishulei. Whatever cooking occurred to that water has long since gone. And once it's gone, so Memelai can be chayiv for cooking the second time. So the same thing with the filament in the light bulb. Whatever cooking was done once, that's not going to tell me ein bishul achar bishul, because that cooking is gone. We'll apply the principle of azalei bishulei. Fine. Rav Shechter went on, and he just had a whole potpourri of very exciting dinim and Shabbos here, there, and everywhere. He spoke about if I do malacha on Shabbos, not with my physical hands, let's say I do malacha on Shabbos al yedei a machine. So generally we assume that that's also going to be an Isser D'Oraisa. The Chazon Ish discusses a combine. A combine is like a combine. Mamash can do everything. It plows and it harvests. It's like this machine. You know, maybe malachas you can violate the combine? I'm not exactly sure, but the Chazon Ish has an essay in Shvius where he discusses how many malachas he can violate by using one of these combines on Shabbos. What's the idea that how can I be chayiv? I'm not using my own hand to do malacha. The Teretz is that the Gemara in Bava Kamma tells us that Zorah v'ruch masayoso, if I do the malacha of Zorah, for like winnowing, and the wind helps me, so I'm going to be chayiv. Why am I chayiv? Because malachas machsheves asra Torah. It's an interesting application. Usually malachas machsheves is a principle that reduces the level of chayiv. It tells me don't think you're really chayiv. No, malachas machsheves has to be like a professional activity. That's a standard approach to malachas machsheves. But there in Bava Kamma Daf Samach, we see malachas machsheves asra Torah, even lahachmer. That malachas machsheves tells me that because I'm trying to do a malacha, I did this machine, so that is going to be mechayiv me. when we talk about using machines, some people contend that maybe there's not going to be an isra use a machine because the malacha doesn't happen the second you push the button. There's a little bit of a delay. So maybe the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa would assume this way. There's a discussion in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chaf about grumma on Shabbos. Is grumma permitted? Is grumma forbidden? It's a machlekes hatanoim of agram kibui. And then there's a machlekes between Taisus and the Mordechai. No, Taisus assumes that if I hold grumma is permitted, it's permitted. Heter is heter, it's mutter, nothing to talk about. The Mordechai says that grumma is only permitted, b'makom hefzid. Right? That's what the Mordechai says. The Ramah happens to paskin like the Mordechai. By the way, even according to Tosfos, who says that grumma is, even according to Tosfos, that says that grumma is going to be usser in general, Tosfos distinguishes between Shabbos and Yontif. Tosfos says on Yontif, grumma is going to be mutter. Okay, whatever that's worth. But the point is that how do I define grumma? So the standard definition of grumma that's used is that any malacha that takes place after time, if I do an action now and the malacha takes place a few minutes later, that's called a grumma. That's a standard explanation. Of Soloveitchik, however, was not inclined that that explanation should be the correct explanation for grumma. According to the Rav, if I'm harnessing a pre-existing force, let's say there's a wind that's already blowing, and I harness that wind, and then it just takes the wind a while until it gets to over here and the malacha occurs, that's not called grumma, that's called kayach acher me'uruf bo. That's my maisa that's done ayidei something else. It's only called grumma if the koach acher begins later on. So if I set up a system that the machine is already working and the malacha will just take place a little bit later, according to the Rav, it could be that is not going to be grumma at all. It happens that by the combine harvester or something, everybody holds it's not grumma because the malacha mamish takes place right away. Fine. There's a discussion about Eish on Shabbos, that's mamish aser. Eish on Yom Tov, we assume I'm allowed to transfer a fire in Yom Tov, but I can't light a fire from scratch. There's a Biyah Harloch, a thing of Tuf Kuf Beis, who discusses, is this an Issa Dairais, is this an Issa Drabonon? The Pashtus is that it's only an Issa Drabonon, like the Chuv of the Ksav Sofer said. Actually, Rabbi Simon's Shir, he referenced this briefly. It might be relevant in terms of the question of lighting Yartze candles, etc., that we spoke about. Fine. When we speak about Grumma, and whether grumma is permitted or grumma is forbidden, so Rav Schechter pointed out that there's a tshuv of the Rugged Shover. This is in the Rugged Shover in the New York edition of his tshuvas. There's various editions of the Rugged Shover's tshuvas. So in the Tzofnes Paneach New York, he distinguishes between what he calls Yisurei Pu'ula and Yisurei Chalos. Sometimes the Torah doesn't want me to do a particular action. Other times what the Torah doesn't want is the chalos, is the result that takes place in the action. The nafgamina between the Yisurei Pu'ula and the Yisurei Chalos is grumma, no? The pshat in grumma is that the result is taking place, but I didn't do it. My own maisa didn't do it. I'm the indirect cause of it. So if it's an Yisurei Pu'ula, I could say that grumma is going to be permitted. But if it's an Yisurei Chalos, if Jad is HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the result to take place, so then grumma should be forbidden. If this is correct, so then maybe we could say that there's a difference between various malachos. No, if you look in the tshuvas of Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank and others, they distinguish between certain malachos it seems like grumma is permitted, but other malachos it seems grumma is forbidden. No, what's the pshat? Right, especially if the definition of grumma is something that takes place after time, right? So when they plant something in the ground, I don't know how many of you have ever tried this, but it doesn't begin to grow right away. It takes some time for it to grow after, right? What's the issue? So again, it could be that certain malachos, the pshat is that it's an iser chalais. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the result to take place. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do it. He doesn't want the result to take place. If it's an iser chalos, someone could say that even grumma is going to be usser. This is relevant for many areas of halacha. I wrote something about this in terms of grumma and shviyas. There's a lot that there is to say, but this also is relevant for the conversation that Rabbi Simon had with us in terms of in terms of ribui b'shiurim. Ribui b'shiurim on the malach of Hotza'a, no? So Rabbi Simon mentioned that the Chafetz Chaim in the Sefer Nidchei Yisrael has a, in the Sefer Machane Yisrael, excuse me, has a suffix about Riboy B'Shiurim by Hotzah, and the Chafetz Chaim is inclined that maybe it's going to be permitted, but the Ur Sameach is inclined that it should not be permitted. What's the issue? The Ur Sameach seems to say that he thinks that the Malach of Hotzah is not the Pshat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Chalos that's not wanted. Once it's the Chalos, it's not wanted, so then Riboy B'Shiurim is going to be Asur as well. Ribui b'shiurim is only a heter, right, if it's an iser pe'ula, not if it's an iser chalos. Other issues that Rabbi Shechter addressed is sometimes a malach on Shabbos could be done with many different people. Echad hevitz ezim, echad yisar. So the Gemara says that they're all going to be potter. The Magen Avraham has a famous comment that potter throughout Masechet Shabbos implies potter aval aser. So it's an iser d'rabbanan, and that's why the Rav said it's aser to pose for pictures. I remember one year, Erev Yom Kippur. So the New York Times decided to come into Yeshiva and they wanted to take pictures of a Yom Kippur service. So Rav Shechter is there, of course. It's like Erev Yom Kippur and like the Times wants to take pictures. So he says, you know what, take your pictures now at Mincha before Yom Kippur actually begins. So there's a picture on like the front page of the New York Times about cantor Jonathan Feldman leading the Yom Kippur services in Yeshiva University. He was the chazan for Mincha that day, and he was zocha to end up on the front page of the Times. Just worked out that way. Fine. Huh? No, the other Jonathan Feldman, Rabbi Daniel Feldman's brother, Jonathan Feldman. Right.
Not even allowed to be there when they're taking
the
picture.
Rev Shechter feels that you can't pose for a picture. If I happen to be there, that Rabbi Wallach also mentioned this in his share, that we'll talk about that, in terms of when like there are cameras, I'm not supposed to like wave, hi mom, but you shouldn't be doing that. But Lamaisa, if you're just there, so that's nothing, fine. Rav Shechter then went on to some of the big klalim in Shabbos. The big klalim in Shabbos are Dov Hashem Miskaven, and Melech Hashem Tzricha Legufa, and Psik Reshe. So let's just make a few comments about these. Dov Hashem Miskaven is a pshat that I do Pa'ula A, and based on Pa'ula A, Pa'ula B may or may not occur. I drag a bench, it's kind of a heavy bench, not the heaviest bench in the world. It could be that by dragging the bench, I'll end up digging a furrow on the ground. The kobe won't dig a furrow on the ground. That is called a dover she'eno miskaven. It's a machlekes tanoim about dover she'eno miskaven, whether we assume that it's permitted or whether we assume it's aser mitzrabonon. And lamaisa dover she'eno miskaven, we paskin is going to be heter gomor. That's our psak. Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a famous comment. Based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Pei Hei, the Gemara in Sanhedrin distinguishes in terms of whether a ben is allowed to be a shaliach or apples is aviv, right? Can you give your parents shots? It's always an exciting shaila and stuff like that. So the Gemara over there distinguishes between higher level yisurim and lower level yisurim. So based on this, Rabbi Yaakov Emden wants to say, well, maybe davar she'eino miskaven is going to be permitted only on Yontif, not on Shabbos, because Shabbos is like a higher level of Isser. Shabbos is a Chi of Skila. Lamaisa, this is not accepted. If you look there in Tosis in Sanhedrin, Tosis in Sanhedrin points out that no, that we consider the Isser that you're doing by dragging the bench to be a lower level Isser, because this is only an Isser Drabbanan, because even if I'm digging a hole, I'm digging a hole Kal Achar Yad. It's not the normal way to dig a hole, like with a shovel. I'm using a bench. So therefore, therefore, it's only going to be an Isser D'Rabbanan. Now, Melach HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa is a different principle than Dov HaShein L'Miskaven. Melach HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa is also Machlok Asin Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. By Melach HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa, some Rishonim, the Rambam and the Baha Mora, seem to pass that you're Chayiv. However, most Rishonim assume that Melach HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa is an Isser D'Rabbanan. What's Melach HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa? So Taisus understands Melach HaShein Tzricha L'Gufa means I do an action for a different reason than that same action was done in the Mishkan. This malacha was done in the Mishkan. I'm doing it, but I'm doing it for a different reason than was done in the Mishkan. That's Tysus's understanding of Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, according to Rashi, means that it's preventative. In other words, I'm doing this Maisa just to get it away from here. I want the trash out of the house. I don't want the trash here. That's Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, according to Rashi. Why is it that by Dover Shein L'Miskavin we pass against Heter Gomer, by Melacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa we pass against Aser Midrabanan? So the issue basically is that since Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa is a halacha that's formulated only by Shabbos, it does not apply to any other area of the Torah, so therefore, in order to be mashveh, in order to equate Shabbos with everything else, so they want to say that, you know what, we'll make it Aser Midrabanan. Because Malacha She'ein Tzricha L'Gufa does not apply anywhere else. That means by anywhere else, it's going to mamish be a real problem. So in order to equate Shabbos to everything else, we'll say that by Shabbos it's also a problem in Drabonon. However, by Dover She'enu Miskaven, which is a universal principle, it's a principle that applies B'chol HaTorah Kula, so therefore for Dover She'enu Miskaven, there's no need to be Mashveh Shabbos to everything else, and Memeo Dover She'enu Miskaven is going to be Heter Gomer. In terms of Malacha She'enu Tzricha L'Gufa, when the Rambam passes it Rabbi Yehuda, that's Aser, L'maisa, there are many different steers in the Rambam. And the answer, the resolution to this whole super-duper bunch of steers in the Rambam could be that there's a difference between avos and toldos. That's what the Merkavas HaMishnah writes. That by avos, so then Malacha She'enu Tzricha L'Gufa is mamish going to be chayiv. By toldos, we'll assume Malacha She'enu Tzricha L'Gufa is aser midrabanan. There's another distinction between avos and toldos is brought up in the Ran at the end of Perek Shmona Shratzim in Shabbos. Over there, they're speaking about the sugya maskori denaz yasa in terms of the iser of sochet. And as we know, Rabbi Nutam famously says there's two types of sochet. There's sochet that is an iser based on libun. There's also sochet which is an iser based on tolda de mefarek. And the Ran over there says that if it's based on mefarek means extracting, that's only if I need the mashka that comes out. If I don't need the mashka, if I don't need the liquid that comes out, so therefore it's going to be permitted. Why? So the Ran has an interesting line. He says, well, since mefarek is a tolda, and you don't need the liquid that comes out, so it's a tolda she'in tzricha l'gufa. And the tolda she'in tzricha l'gufa is going to be potter. Reb Menachem Zemba, the Sefer Tosos Chaim, jumps up and down, spits water nuggets. He gets like very excited about this. He's like, "Well, Tolda Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, right? Is not going to be Chayiv. That's like a interesting idea, right? In other words, that's a really interesting idea because we have another distinction lahalacha between an av and a tolda. First distinction was within the Rambam Shita Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa according to the Merkavas HaMishnah. Second distinction is the idea of the Ran of Tolda She'in Tzricha L'Gufa. It happens that there's an easier way to say it over, the way Rav Salveshik used to say it. Rav Salveshik always said it over in an easier way than everyone else. Rav Salveshik said it over in an easier way in his Shiur Masechta Shabbos. The way the Rav said this idea is pretty elegant. In other words, every Tolda is only Chaya because it's Doma to the Av. Right, that's the definition of a tolda. It's similar to the av. I could be similar to the av because in action it's very similar. I could be similar to the av because the tachos, the purpose of what I'm doing, is similar. If I have a tolda, she'ein tzricha l'gufa, so the reason it's a tolda is because in action it's not completely similar to the av. But if it's ein tzricha l'gufa, that means also in purpose it's not dome. If in purpose it's not dome, so das heis, it's not a tolda at all. A tolda has to be similar either in action or in purpose. If it's a tolda she'ein tzricha l'gufa, it's basically completely dissimilar, so it could be that's why it's not chayiv. It's not like a razzle-dazzle new idea that tolda she'ein tzricha l'gufa is going to be potter, but the pshat is it lacks similarity. Fine. There is a discussion that Rav Schechter had about Pesik Reshe. Pesik Reshe is a Malacha She'en Tzrich L'Gufa is inevitable. In other words, I do action A, as a result of action A, action B happens. So that is called a Pesik Reshe. If action B always happens, it's inevitable. So we pass in that Moda Rav Shem Pesik Reshe, even if you hold that Dover She'en Miskaven is going to be permitted, but by Pesik Reshe, your mamish going to be Chayiv. There is, however, a case in the Rashba. The Rashba in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph Bedafei Harif is quoted by the Ran. So the Rashba over there says that if a person locks up his house, no Elos Habayis, and there is a deer in the house, But my kavana, when I lock up the house, is lishmar besol v'gamkein linol ba'ad hatzvi. So the Rashba wants to say that that's going to be permitted. Okay? So I'm locking the door to my house. My intention is I want to trap that deer, but I also want to protect my property. So says the Rashba that that's going to be permitted. And everyone jumps up and down on this Rashba. The Magen Mishnah just says, Ein lahako kol kach. That's the end of it. Like, you can't be makel like this Rashba. But the Ran says, whoa, 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 because your kavana is that you want to protect your house, that's a heter. How does my, right, since when, if I want to also protect my stuff, I have kavana to do an iser. Right, so I'm cooking on Shabbos, but I also have kavana that I'm being miyached of the spheris. Right, so that's matirat. It doesn't work like that. Right, Judaism doesn't take into effect. Right, if I have kavana for an iser, it's aser. That's one issue. Moreover, they ask Kash on the Rashba, that Lamaisa, even if you wouldn't have kavana for the tzvi, if I don't have kavana for the tzvi at all, but the tzvi is there, so that's, and I know the tzvi is there, so that's a psik reishe, no? So I'm going to be chayiv, that's a psik reishe. Right? Even without kavana for the tzvi, why didn't he kavana for the tzvi at all? The Chora, right? The Rashba says, it sounds like I'm going to be chayiv on the tzvi if I have kavana for the tzvi, and I have kavana for the tzvi bovad. Be without kavan for the tzvi. L'chor, if the tzvi is in the house, I lock the door. That's a psik reishe. So I should be chayiv. So what's the pshat? So apparently the pshat that the Rashba is getting at is that when it comes to the malach of tzad, Tosis on Daf Yud Zayin points out in Shabbos that the real malach of tzad is only if I mamish, like, grab onto the animal and corral it in myself. No, what's it called? Rusking or something? Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's a course of offering yeshiva. But the point is that that's the only type of real tzad. Every other malach of tzad, so tzad is a malach that's kind of distant. I'm not really trapping the animal biyadayim, right? The animal's getting trapped because of my actions. If that's the case, so it could be that without my kavana, the Rashba holds, it's not called tzad at all. Maybe that's the pshat in the Rashba. Be it as it may, the Achrayim don't like the Rashba in terms of his chiddush by tzad. But the Rashba, though, is accepted, or part of the Rashba is accepted by the Shulte Giborim. Now, there's the Shulte Giborim over there on the side of the page in on Daf Lamed Ches Amar Af, the Daf Harif. He accepts the Psik Reshe part of the Rashba. The Psik Reshe part of the Rashba is that, you know what? If I'm doing an action, says the Shulte Giborim, and that action may or may not be an Isser, it's not automatically that's an Isser. So then it could be that's not a Psik Reshe. And he points out that maybe that's what Rashi in Zvachim says, no? The Gemara in Zvachim speaks about that there's an Isser to put out the fire on the Mizbeach. If I'm Mizalaf the Ishim, if I'm Mizalaf Agabia Ishim, if I pour the wine on top of the fire, so Rashi has a line that since I could do a petit and dak and admaod, I could use tiny, tiny little drops, so maybe that's not a psik reishe at all, no? Rabbi Yaakov Rablowski pointed out to me, you don't have to go so far to Rashi in Zvachim Daf Tzadi Aleph, it's a little extreme to learn Zvachim, but Rashi in the beginning of Ksubis has the same type of chiddush in terms of the sugya psik reishe. Rashi at the beginning of Ksubis says, and since it's Efshak Kiddush Shmuel, no, Shmuel had this idea that he was able to be boil many basulos, he had like this technique that he mastered, and him alone, to be boil basulos without breaking the hymen. So therefore, Rashi has a line that therefore it's not going to be considered a psik reishe. It's a, I don't know, everyone quotes the Rashi in Zvachim, but Lamaisa it's a Rashi in Ksubis also. Okay, whatever it's worth. But the point is that this element of the Rashba, what the Rashba is saying, as amplified by the Shulte Giborim, that part might be accepted. That if I'm doing an action, and the action isn't going to automatically lead to the Isser, because it's possible, even in a very far-fetched, by the way, is one of these English words that sounds Yiddish, even in a very far-fetched way, right, the action could not lead to the Isser, so that is going to be not a psik reishe. That's the Chiddush that the Rashba developed. Lamaisa, Rabbi Willig, in his shiur, amplified on this same Rash, Bashilte Giborim, a little bit more. You see, Rabbi Wolig's shiur was about, we'll get back to the end of Rav Schechter in 4 or 5 minutes, but Rabbi Wolig's shiur about security systems raises the following question. How do you deal with security systems on Shabbos, no? You have an alarm system. So, is it permitted? You end up on a screen. It's better, and Rabbi Wellig told his building, it's better not to have the screen on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you should have only the digital record of who comes in. Digital in terms of, it's like on a hard drive somewhere. And it shouldn't be on the screen anywhere. But if you have a system and there's a screen, so is there an iser whatsoever to walk into such a place on Shabbos? So Rabbi Wellig developed an idea that we'll talk about in a few minutes based on that's a psik reishe, the loy nicholin and iser drabonon, and that's why it's going to be permitted. Okay, we'll talk about that in 2 minutes. But Rabbi Wellig also, in the context of that shiur, he went on to speak about the klolim of psik reishe to a great extent. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, in his notes at the beginning of Ksubis, points out that there's two possible reasons why Psik Reishe might be Chayiv on Shabbos, two conceptual approaches. Either Psik Reishe is forbidden because we view it like it's Chad Maisa. Action A and Action B can't be separated, so it's mamish like Chad Maisa. Right? It's inevitable. Action A leads to Action B. It's such a heavy bench, you'll drag, you'll make a hole every time. So therefore, don't say you're dragging a bench. No, you're digging a hole. Thus is digging a hole. That's one approach. That's Chad Maisa. The other approach is, come on, don't lie to me. But you tell me you don't have Kavana to dig a hole? Since it happens all the time, we tell you you have Kavana. That's the second approach that Rabbi Chanan has. The Psik Reishe is either usher because it's Ki'ilu Mechavein, or Psik Reishe is usher based on the idea that based on the idea that you have, that's Chad Maisa, that I'm doing the action. In certain situations, you could split between the two. That was Rabbi Wellig's whole shir that we'll talk about in a few minutes. But one of these situations that Rabbi Wellig addressed is this notion of the Rashi in Zvachim or Ksubis, whatever we're talking about. When Rashi says a kavan that's Efshar to be Mezalap a Tipin Dakin Ad Ma'od, right, what that really means is that you can't say it's Chad Maisa. I can't say that the action of pouring wine on this fire is tantamount to kibui, because since it's possible to pour the wine with tiny, tiny drops, so that's not called kibui. So that takes away the chad maisa element of it. That's the way Rabbi Wellig amplified this in his shiur. Fine. Lamaisa, let's just talk about the Rabbi Wellig shiur in a little bit of greater detail. It should take us 3 or 4 minutes, and we will then return to some of the other ideas that we just skipped. Tosfos on Daf Kuf Gimel and Shabbos permits Psik Reishe Delo Nichole by an Iser Derabbanan. Now this Lechora is very problematic. Because a psik reishe de lo nichole itself, it's a machlekes Taisus and the Aruch. No, the Aruch says psik reishe de lo nichole is permitted. Taisus himself says psik reishe de lo nichole is asur midrabanan, probably because it's a malach hashen tzricha legufa. So psik reishe de lo nichole itself is nothing. By psik reishe and isur midrabanan, there is a Taisus in Psachim on Daf Chaf Vav or Chaf Hey. I forgot already. The Taisus in Psachim says it's permitted a psik reishe on an isur drabanan, and that's the position that Trumas Hadeshan, the psik reishe on an isur drabanan is permitted, but the Magid Avram Shin Yudalitz of Cotton Hay says the psik reishe on drabanan is also nothing. So the type of mathematics I learned before I came to Yeshiva College tells me that 0 plus 0 equals 0, right? So if I have psik reishe the lo nichole that doesn't do anything, and a psik reishe on the drabanan that doesn't do anything, hayitachin the psik reishe the lo nichole on the drabanan should be mutter. And Rabbi Wellig wanted to say this is mutter because that's l'chayra what goes on when I walk into these buildings on Shabbos and I'm being recorded, right? So I could say that's a psik reishe de lo nichole. Why is it lo nichole? Because I'm not happy with being recorded on these cameras. I don't want to be recorded. It doesn't help me at all. That's lo nichole. And the whole issue is an issur drabanan because, like we mentioned a few minutes ago, electricity is only an issur drabanan. So psikresh don't only according to Rabban, it's hatu gamar. So what's the pshat? How could that be? So what Rabbi Willig wanted to suggest is based on this lumdus of Rabbi Chanan. You see, what's the pshat that we assume that a psik reshe de lo nichole is going to be osir? Why is psik reshe de lo nichole going to be osir? So the answer probably is that even though it's lo nichole and therefore I don't have kavana, but it's osir because of the chad maisa theory of Rabbi Chanan, no? And how come psik reshe on an isser derabbanon is osir the way many pask? And it happens that Reb Tovya Goldstein, Zichron Allah Veracha, he used to live next door to Reb Moshe or something. So he once told me that the standard approach of all the rabbanim in Europe was that psik reshe on derabbanon was mutter. I once asked him a question about psik reshe on derabbanon, like a steer and something. So he's like, yeah, everyone in Europe said psik reshe on derabbanon is mutter. End of conversation. I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, of course. And then he like walked away. So that's the whole conversation. But, so, psik reshe on a drabbanon. What's the issue over there? So the issue over there might be as follows. In terms of an issa drabbanon, it could be the mesha chokhma develops an idea that yisurim drabbanon are only usher because of the merit, because I'm rebelling against God. That, or rebelling against the rabbis who are telling us what God wants. So, the idea of an Isser Drabbanon and a Psik Reshe is that the Isser is going to be based on the theory not of Chad Maisa, because Chad Maisa is only that the two actions are linked halachically. But Chad Maisa doesn't mean that I'm mamish a rebel. I'm not a rebel. So how come it's going to be Isser? It's only Isser because I have Kavana for it. In other words, what we have is like this. Psik reshe de lo nichole, we assume is going to be usher, like Taisus, not like the Aruch, because we assume that psik reshe de lo nichole, the pshat is it's chad maisa. And psik reshe de drabbanon, we assume it's usher, because chad maisa won't say it's usher, but the iser is out kavana. So then if I have a psik reshe de lo nichole on the drabbanon, where I neither have kavana, because by definition, when it's lo nichole, there's no kavana. And because it is a drabbanon, so therefore chad maisa isn't enough to be chayiv. You have to mamish have merit involved. That's Rabbi Willig's assumption. One could question that entire assumption. But if that's the case, so then we could understand why psik reshe de lo nichole on a drabbanon is going to be heter gomor. And that's the basis of this entire kula of using security systems. Then Rabbi Willig in his shir went on and he said, well, maybe though, there's a difference between a super psik reshe, a psik reshe that it's impossible to split between them, and a psik reshe that is possible to split. In other words, when a super psik reshe, like what we said from Rashi in Zvachim, is that it's not a super psik reshe, that it is possible to be mezaleh for the ishim in a way that it won't, that the fire won't go out. So that's not a super psik reshe. But the Rivash has a tshuva about combing hair on Shabbos. Now, combing hair on Shabbos, we assume, is usher. The question is, why is it usher? Why is it usher? It seems to be machlokes Rashi and Taisus, by the way, why combing hair on Shabbos is usher. Either it's kavana, that we assume that you have kavana to pull out some of the hairs, or the pshat is that's mamash a psik reshe. If it's a psik reshe when I comb my hair, that's an interesting chiddush in psik reshe also. There's a psik reshe based on an action that I repeat, right? It's not that each stroke of the brush I'm going to rip out a hair. The pshat is that in the aggregate, by combing my hair, so I will inevitably rip out some hair over a bunch of brushes, no? Brushings. So that. But the Rivash has a line where he wants to say that even according to the Aruch, who holds that ordinarily psik reshe de lo nichole is mutter, but over here psik reshe de lo nichole by combing the hair is mamish going to be aser, even according to the Aruch. Why? So Rabbi Willig in his Sefer suggests because this is what he calls a super psik reshe. The super psik reshe in the sense of once I take it together in the aggregate that all of the brushings are mitzuraf to one action of brushing, and I know for sure you're going to be pulling hair out, so it's like a super duper psik reshe. It's not shayach, it's inconceivable, to quote one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite movies, it's inconceivable that that you're not going to pull out any hair. So memela, Right? Memela, it's a super psik resha, and by a super psik resha, it's going to for sure be aser. Similarly, Rabbi Willig wanted to point out maybe this could help within the Rambam. There's a machlokes between Reb Chaim and the Chazon Ish about whether the Rambam really holds like the Aruch or not, etc. It could be, Rabbi Willig said, that if it's a super psik resha, that you can't split between the two, so then that's going to be Isser, even according to the Aruch, like the Rav Ash is saying. But if it's not a super psik resha, so then it won't be Isser according to the Aruch. And similarly, according to the Rambam. So this is just some of the basic issues that Rabbi Willig addressed in the context of psik resha. And then both Rabbi Schechter and Rabbi Willig spoke about a famous Maharal of Prague, no? And this is what we'll finish these two shirim together. Well, together with. The Maharal of Prague has a comment on the Malacha of Zoreya that psik resha doesn't help. Because since it occurs later on, so there's no din of psik resha in this situation. When I plant something, it doesn't grow until later on, so therefore there's not going to be a din of psik resha. And Rabbi Willig pointed on his shir that you have to open this Maharal of Prague, because if not, it's also to walk into any house during the winter, no? Because when they open up the door, so a blast of cold air comes in, right? And doesn't that make the thermostat send a message to the boiler to heat up more, right? So l'chora, what's the heter to walk into house? Teretz is that no. There's no psik resha on something that takes place later on. And that's heter to open up refrigerators, etc. I'm still bothered by this. I don't know the answer. But if we hold like Rav Soloveitchik, it should be my own ma'isa based on the Kayach HaChem Uruf Bo. So I don't know exactly the answer to that question still. But the point is that what's the svara for this Maharal of Prague? How can the Maharal of Prague permit a psik reshe ayudeya delay? The answer is that you can't say it's chad ma'isa in that situation, no? Chad ma'isa has to be that they're happening close together.
Isn't that our traditional grumma over there? Isn't that what we were calling grumma before?
And that's the problem, yeah. I mean, it's called grumma according to everyone besides Rav Soloveitchik. According to Rav Soloveitchik, okay. I don't know the answer. That's why I'm still bothered, right? I don't know the answer to that part. Fine. But the point is that the chad maisa svara l'cha'ora won't help by a psik reshe with a time delay, and that's going to be the heter. Rabbi Willig had a little bit more at the end about Sichta Latuna, about the Gemara that says when I throw a stick into a fire, that first it softens and it becomes harder, and how that relates to fluorescent lights and Amir al-Nachri, but we could leave that for a little bit later. Okay, any other Ha'aris, or is there anything else that people would like me to discuss for a minute and a half about Psik Reshe, about Rabbi Willig Shir, Rabbi Schechter Shir, anything? Okay. Since we're in Rabbi Sabolovsky's room, let's talk about Rabbi Sabolovsky's here. Rabbi Sabolovsky spoke about caring for children on Shabbos, something that's very dear for me. I try to care for my children every Shabbos. So there's many possible malachos that come up in caring for children, particularly in terms of food. The malach of tochin on Shabbos, grinding is also only if I cut something to be dak-dak, if I cut it to be very, very thin. We're not exactly sure what dak dak is. The Rayim writes that shira dakusam lo nodalon, that we don't know exactly how thin it should be. So, okay, but we know there's something called grinding something dak dak, that's an iser. The big kula that comes up by tochein is the Rashba says it, just like by bore there's a heter of doing it for immediate consumption, by tochein also there's a heter for immediate consumption. Right, we're talking about whether I could cut up, let's say, can I mash a banana for a kid, we'll discuss. Can I cut up vegetables for the kid? We're only talking about gedulei karka, because the malach of tochein only applies to gedulei karka. So the Rashba has this idea that there is a kula of tochein for la'alter. The Mishnah Berurah says, don't rely on this Rashba alone, only rely on the Rashba, besniff the fact that you're cutting it into larger pieces than it's usually cut for. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Still, we're not 100% sure, but if you have to cut food for kids, you cut a little bit bigger than you usually cut it, and you do it right away, and then you're okay according to this Rash, but with the Mishnah Berurah, not such a problem. It happens, though, that the Chazon Ish has a line. He says that's only by ordinary tochein. However, mashing, if I take my banana and I mamish, grind it up, for real, right, I mash it. So mashing, according to Chazon Ish, that's the classical, that's the prototype of tochein, and then there's not going to be a kula of the Rashba of La'altar. Therefore, the Chazon Ish says the only kula that you have with the banana is if you do it ayudei yeshinoi. And then there's a whole discussion, what's considered a shinui by the tochein? Is there enough of a shinui if I use the back of a spoon? Should I use the back of the fork? Is it in the back of the spoon? Because the normal way is the teeth of the fork. Some say, no, what difference? The back of it also grinds it very well. So I saw one sefer said that he thought the only shinui that really helps by being tochein a banana is if you leave the skin of the banana on and you take a cup or something and you grind it that way. I don't know. Fine. The point is that this is what the Chazon Ish says. Reb Moshe, however, says, whoa. He thinks that the whole Chazon Ish is based on a mistake. The Chazon Ish is assuming that there's a malach of tochein by mashing a banana. Reb Moshe says that tochein means I grind it into disparate pieces. Right? If it becomes one mush, that's not disparate pieces, that's not tochein at all. But since the Chazon Ish says, do it ayudei shinoi, we're not exactly sure how the shinoi helps, so therefore Reb Moshe says, okay, listen to the Chazon Ish and use the back of a spoon or the back of a fork and use that as your to mash your bananas. That's what Reb Moshe says. The next malacha that we spoke about very quickly is Lisha, this machlikas hatanoyim, where the kneading sets in when I pour the water, whether the malach of kneading doesn't take place until I actually knead the items together. The nafkamina is for shinuyim. You see, shinui is questionable whether it helps by other malachas at all. Usually shinui, like parva moishas tain on the Chazon Ish, is if I do a shinui for grinding, so it should be an isur d'rabbanon, right? Shinui just means I'm doing a kalachar yad, so it should be also midrabbanon. Yet by lush, we know that shinui helps. Well, where do I have to do the shinui? So it depends on machlekes hatanoyim. If the malacha begins when I add the liquid, so I need the shinui adding the liquid. In other words, I reverse the order. If usually you put the, let's say, oatmeal in first, right? And then you put the water after, so you should put the water first and the oatmeal after. You reverse the order. But if the real malacha is with the mixing, so then I have to do a shinui in the mixing. How do you do a shinui in the mixing? You shake the keli around. That could be very difficult. It'll take all day. You could do shesi ve'erev. Shesi ve'erev, according to the Chazon Ish, means I have to remove my, let's say, knife after every stroke. That could also be quite cumbersome. I could use my finger to make the baby cereal. I remember telling my wife this when we had our first kid, about how to make baby cereal in Shabbos. Said, so use your finger. And the Chazon Ish, by the way, discusses I could be using a glove. Doesn't help at all, because it has to mamish be the finger. So I told this to my wife, and she says, you're crazy. And she's right. I am crazy. But the ma'aseh, what you should do probably is make the cereal before Shabbos. It's much easier. Okay. There's also discussion that shinui may only help by blila raka, by a looser consistency. If it's a blila ova, it doesn't help at all. And there is a Reb Moshe about making instant potatoes or something, that certain things that when they clop right away, so then no shinui will help whatsoever. So it could be that making these baby cereals, again, not the rice cereal. The rice cereal you can make on Shabbos, but I think the oatmeal and the barley, it's better to try to make it before Shabbos. If you want to make it on Shabbos, you have to do three things. A, make it very liquidy. B, reverse the order, however you usually do it. And if you don't usually do it one way, so some people say you follow what it says on the package, I don't know. And then the third thing is that you stir it in a different sort of way. You do the shesi ve'erev, let's say, fine. In terms of women who nurse on Shabbos, so nursing is permitted on Shabbos. I'm not 100% sure why, but lamaisa nursing is permitted. When the woman is uncomfortable, so usually to nurse, to take the milk out, that would be an isser of mefarik. Right? That could be an isser d'oraisa, mefarik, to take the milk out. So you have to do it based on what we mentioned earlier, in a way that becomes melacha shein tzricha legufa, which is that the milk has to be holich le'ibud, The milk has to go into the drain directly. Most poskim hold that even if it doesn't go directly into the drain, if it goes into a bottle and you pour it out, that's also considered holich le'ibud. In past years, Rabbi Sabalovsky mentioned that sometimes Rabbanim will tell you to put some soap into the bottles. Like usually when women express milk, they express into bottles and they'll tell you to put soap into bottles. That can be very dangerous, because if you don't pour it out, that could, chas v'shalom, lead to very bad things. So I think Rabbi Sabalovsky mentioned in past years when he gave this share, just put in the regular bottle and you pour it out, follow most poskim that way, not the biggest deal. Using electronic pumps, so we assume that if you attach electronic pumps to the woman before the pump goes on and the electricity goes on, like a Shabbos clock, that's not going to be a problem. But using electronic pumps is a little bit of a complicated type of issue. If you would have a goy to do it, so then it could be in those situations you'd be able to save the milk, but generally speaking, we don't save the milk. We don't save the milk. Fine, because of the iser of mifarik. Diapering babies on Shabbos is permitted. Okay, that's a chiddush. We assume there's a whole question. There's like, someone's going through four different stages of diapering a baby. We got really into this topic. So when it comes to diapering babies, so opening the tabs before Shabbos, most poskim assume that the tabs are not intended to remain that way for a very long time, so therefore there's no iser of tofer and koreya. Even though it says in poskim that there's an iser, the Rama writes, the ein lahatir b'fnei am ha'aretz, when it comes to tfira, if it's for a short amount of time, in lahatu if ne'ama oret, that's what the Rambam says. But lemaisa, the later svarim say that only applies to, like, if it's regular tefira like with a needle and thread. But tefira that looks completely dissimilar to ordinary tefira, so that you could permit even if ne'ama oret. The issue with diapering the baby to remember is at the very end you shouldn't stick the tabs back together, because if I'll do that, that might be shel kayama. There are some who make it once you throw it in the garbage, that it's not shel kayama, because you don't care if it opens up once it's in the garbage. But lemais, it's better to be careful and not to close up the diaper when you're done. Putting creams on, generally, we dab the cream on. The use of baby wipes is a shaila metzias about whether there's a concern that it's of schita or not. Sarche chola, the Ramashin Chafres, if Yud Zayin passing the Tzarche Chola has a din of a Tzarche Katan, it's like a Chola Sheim Bo Sakana, that's what the Rambam says. It's unclear in Polska until what age is someone considered a Katan. Minchas Yitzchak writes until the age of 9. Rabbi Yashav is calling some of these books until the age of around 4. That's a little bit extreme. Some say even less than that, some say somewhere in between. We don't know exactly. Rav Shechter is a famous beer in the Sefer Be'ikvei Hatzon, where he says that a katan is considered a chol hashem b'sakana so long as he's not functioning normally. The definition of a chol hashem b'sakana is anyone who's not functioning according to the way they normally function. Sometimes a kid just didn't sleep well at night. Kid isn't functioning normally. That's a chol hashem b'sakana. That's the idea. What's the din of a chol hashem b'sakana? So amir al-nafi is permitted for a katan. Amir al-nafi is permitted for a chol hashem b'sakana. That's not a problem. What about doing it if I don't have a guy around? So what's permitted? So the Mishnah Berurah says it's permitted to do an Isser Drabbanan Ayyadei Yisrael Ayyadei Yeshinoi. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. Rabbi Sabalovsky points out that if you look in the Makar HaDavar in the Ramban himself is permitting even an Isser D'Araisa Ayyadei Yisrael Ayyadei Yeshinoi. There is a discussion about, can I ask my kids to do Malacha for me? That's very, very bad. That's a pasuk in Aseres Hadibros, Osasakom Loch, Atu Avin Chovitecha, that you can't have your children do malachos for you. Reb Chaim famously said about this, that if I have my kid do a malacha for me, then I become a Mechal on Shabbos. It's not just, right? It's not just I violate a general Isser, it mamish becomes like a an Isser of Chal Shabbos. There's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba when it comes to Safin Lebi Adayim. There's an Isser, Yevamos Kufiyot, right? Yevamos is here, so on Daf Kufiyot Dalet, it says that you're not allowed to give your kids items of Isurim, so that's true for sure by an Isser D'Oraisa. What about an Isser D'Rabbanan? Can I give it to my kids? Machlokas Rambam and Rashba. Rebbe Kiva Eger says that you can rely on the Rashba and give it to your kid, but that is only if it's Letzorach, your kid. In other words, to ask your kid to carry if the kid is carrying for the kid himself, so then, okay, then there's yesh tzadim l'hakel, that carrying is a nisa drabonon, because since you could build an eruv, right, so it's only a karmas nisa drabonon. But if it is carrying not for the kid, but it's carrying for the adult, so that would mamish be a problem. Because even according, right, that's not safin lelakatan. Safin lelakatan is, I do it for the kid himself. If a kid is very, very young, so it could be it's considered like a misasek entirely, it's not considered an iser whatsoever. Okay, the question is, do people want to continue and daven ma'ariv after, or should we break and just, we'll have a fun on Tuesday?
Continue?
Fine. So we can try to continue a little bit. Any questions on Rabbi Savolovsky shiur or any of the other Hilchot Shabbos shiur? And then we'll move on to abortion and medical topics. Okay.
Abort the topic.
What? Abort
the topic.
The latter? Okay. Let's abort the topic. Okay. Abortion. The last segment was a segment of medical halacha. The first shiur in this segment was Rabbi Willig's shiur about abortion. Very complicated shiur. The sugya of abortion is a very complicated sugya. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is discussing whether there can be a katan who's a rodev. It's a question in the Gemara, can a katan be a rodev? So the Gemara brings a Mishnah in Ahalos, where the Mishnah in Ahalos says that until the katan, until the baby is yatzal avir ha'olam, so then you can kill the baby to save the mother, but yatzal rosho ein docha nefesh mipnei nefesh. That's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin says. Rashi understands that Gemara as follows. Rashi says that kol zman the baby is inside the mother, it's lav nefeshu. And that's why you're allowed to kill the baby. The Pashtus in Rashi is that lav nefesh means that the iser abortion, the iser of killing a baby inside the mother, is not an iser of murder. It's lav nefesh. Only when it's yotzer lavir ha'olam does it become a nefesh, and only then do I have, right, the question of ein doicha nefesh, mipnei nefesh, but while it's inside, according to Rashi, it's not murder at all. That's the Pashtus. The problems in Judaism usually begin with the Rambam. The Rambam, he just always has a different take on the whole Gemara, no? So the Rambam's take on the Gemara is that the katan, when he's inside, you're allowed to kill him because the katan is kirodev. But once he leaves, so then the Rambam says you can't kill the baby because zehu tivol sho'olam, which is what the Gemara sounds like in terms of Mishamaya Karadfi. The Gemara says, though, that it's not really a rodev even when it's inside because Mishamaya Karadfi, but the Rambam somehow brings the stint of rodev back. So according to the Rambam, the issue at hand with killing a baby when it's inside the mother is altsrodev. According to Rashi, though, it's not altsrodev. According to Rashi, it's because it's not nefesh. Tosfos in different mesechtas has different lines. There's a famous Gemara where the Gemara says mi ikamidi, that there's nothing that is going to be forbidden to B'nai Noach and permitted for B'nai Yisrael. If something is usher for B'nai Noach, it's got to be usher for the Jews also. That's what the Gemara tells us on Daf Nun Tes, let's say, in Sanhedrin. Mi yikamidi. Tosfos, therefore, has even a suffix. Tosfos has a suffix. Well, one second. If you're going to tell me this idea of mi yikamidi, what about can I buy a goy? That means for a goy, there's an issue of abortion based on shofech dama adam ba adam dama yishofech because in Parshas Noach, does a goy have a heter to kill the baby to save the mother? So that's 2 days in Tosfos. Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his tshuvas, uses this tosis to say, well, one second, why would it possibly be usher to kill the baby to save the mother? Alam Isaac, to Moshe, killing the baby is an isser of murder. That's what Moshe says. And Moshe builds up a homa aracha that the isser abortion is fundamentally an isser murder. And the only time it's mutter to abort is when the child is a rodef, like the Rambam seems. But Reb Moshe says, in order to prove that someone's a rodef, you need what he calls an umdana karov levadai, that it's going to be a rodef. Short of an umdana karov levadai, if I don't know nearly for certainty, so then I can't assume that it's a rodef. Okay, so Rav Moshe is the extreme shita that abortion is shvichas damim, which is the position of the Catholic Church, by the way, lahavdol, but that's what the Church assumes, that life begins at conception, and therefore it is murder to abort. Most assume that the iser of abortion, and there is an iser of abortion, mi ikamidi tells me there is some iser of abortion by Jews. Rabbi Kiva Ege even points out in one place a very interesting raya. There's an issue of abortion for Jews. The Gemara tells me in Nida, and in Loikotin, I think, that I'm not allowed to throw my fingernails out on the ground, no? Why not? Because maybe a pregnant woman is going to walk by and abort. Ah! Zetman, I see, there's an issue of abortion, right? So that's the raya from fingernails. Okay, so
we're not going to call you a rotseach because you threw your fingernails
on the ground. I'm not saying we call you a rotseach, but we see that there's some iser to abort, the fact I'm not supposed to throw my fingernails because chas v'shalom, it might lead to...
She wants her child and you're causing her child to...
Okay, whatever.
Is that really the raya?
That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger says one of the rayas is, yeah. Uh-huh. It's not a bad raya. I mean, it's not clear what exactly is the iser of abortion. We don't know. For b'nei noyach, I know it's considered murder. Shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damu yishofech, that I'm a murderer of the person inside the person. Rav Moshe says by b'nei Yisrael, it's also considered murder. And that's Rav Moshe's whole approach to the tshuva. There is a line in the Taisvis in Nida, where Taisus and Nida might even sound like it's mutter for B'nai Yisrael. But Rav Moshe writes that that Tosis was like written by a Talmud Toeh, the whole thing is a mistake. It's interesting, Rav Moshe got really into Talmud Toehs. He says, and there's a tshuva of the Maharit. Also, the Maharit assumes that the issue of abortion for B'nai Yisrael is an issue of Chavola. Rav Moshe says that Maharit also is written by a Talmud Toeh. Right? He's like getting really into this, no? The point is that there is an iser of abortion. We're not sure what it is. It could be it's based on chavala. Now, if it's chavala, what's the iser chavala? So this iser chavala could be one of two things. It could be chavala on the baby. It could be chavala on the mother, no? The pashtus is we're talking about chavala. We're talking about chavala on the mother. And therefore, the method of doing the abortion, whether I use a vacuum or I use a surgical procedure, might be very relevant, because if the issue at hand is chavala, so then if I'm not being chova the mother, it's okay. Others assume that the iser at hand is chotza'as zera lefatola. No? If there's an iser chotza'as zera lefatola, that I can't destroy zera before the gametes unite, so kol shekein after they unite, it should be usher to destroy. So that's also an interesting approach of an iser. By the way, that would tell me that there's no heter, even toich mem yom. If you hold that the iser of abortion is based on hotzah zera levatola, even within the first 40 days after conception, there should be an iser of abortion. You can't give a heter of ma'ya ba'alma. I'll say it's just water. That won't help at all. I mean, the whole conversation that you have to have about contraception in general is pretty related to this conversation, absolutely. Lemaisa, even within the Rambam, who takes the approach that the heter to kill the baby when it's inside the mother is rodev, And therefore, we wanted to say that maybe the Rambam holds like the Reb Moshe, that's like din murder in general. But if you read the Rambam carefully, the Rambam isn't really saying it's a rodef. The Rambam is saying expressions that are close to rodef, not exactly. Hareza kirodef, kamo rodef. And the Bayer might be, like Reb Isser Zalman has, that to be a real rodef, you need kavana. Rodef b'li kavana isn't a full-fledged rodef. However, there's a din of rodef in metzias. The din of rodef in metzias, fine. Reb Moshe never distinguishes between the din of rodef in metzias and the din of rodef b'kavana. There was a case in the Sefer Bad Kodesh. He's one of the Panovich Rosh Yeshiva. The Bad Kodesh, he was Nifter, David Pavarsky, I think. So the Bad Kodesh, he has a case about Siamese twins. And he quotes from Reb Moshe that since they're both rodvim zeh achar zeh, right, both of them, so therefore you have a right, you could kill one of them to save the other, no? Even though there's no kavana whatsoever, Reb Moshe treated it like a full-fledged rodev. Rabbi Willig pointed out that Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his notes on that Mishnah in Ahalos, Rabbi Kiva Eger speaks about situations that they both die, they both will die, but Rabbi Kiva Eger isn't working within the idea of rodev at all. He's just working within Svara. Since the only reason I ain't doch in nefesh but name nefesh is based on my chos to dom the dech samach tfei, so maybe if I could have some svara, I could evaluate in some way whose blood is redder, so maybe that would be matir. Questions of rodef by babies, Rabbi Willig pointed out in the tshuva, from the tshuva of Migeha Harega, the Holocaust tshuva is about the baby crying to smother the baby, to save everybody else. Again, Reb Moshe would assume that that's a full-fledged rodef. That was the that was given in that discussion, that the person who killed the baby wasn't a full-fledged reitzeach because it's a rodef. You don't necessarily have to go that far. You don't necessarily have to go that far. There are many cases, though, where this Reb Moshe is really very relevant. Reb Moshe, again, is assuming that abortion is murder. The only heter is alts rodev, and to be a rodev, you have to be proven umdin akarev lavada that you're a rodev. The Sheva Talevi says you never need umdin akarev lavada. But according to Reb Moshe, it's interesting. The only rodev is the baby. No. Let's say the mother. There was a case in Reb Zilberstein's sefer in the Torah Hayoledes that the mother has a machala. She has a cancer, and because of the cancer, so you want to treat the cancer and then you're going to kill the baby. Is that mutter? The cancer treatment will end up killing the baby. Is it mutter to do that? According to Reb Moshe, that would mamish be aser, no? Because the only heter to kill the baby is out to the fact that the baby's a rodef. Over here, the baby's not the rodef. The cancer is the rodef. The cancer is what's trying to kill the mother. So there should be no heter to kill the baby. However, if we take the approach that would emerge like from Rabbi Kiva Eger and the like, that we just follow Svara, and Svara tells us, like based on Maichozes and things like this, who deserves to live more, so then one could argue, okay, make a good estimate. If the doctors feel that because of the pregnancy, the mother can't withstand the cancer treatments, and the mother has a real chance to make it otherwise, so then maybe it would be permitted to kill the baby in that way. Rabbi Willig at the end of the shiur just mentioned a few interesting points that he went through pretty quickly. One point he mentioned was that our entire premise that there's an issur of abortion for Jews is based on mi'ikamidi, but there's never a case in the Rambam where he quotes the mi'ikamidi. Consequently, Rabbi Willig wanted to say, well, maybe according to the Rambam, he just like threw this out, maybe according to the Rambam, the whole issue of abortion is only Nisid Rabbanon, end of discussion. Well, okay. Then Rabbi Willig also went into a difference between B'nai Yisrael and B'nai Noach about whether the issue is Ritzicha and issue Shvichas Damin. He got into a whole involved bit of Lomdis over there. But Lomaisa, in terms of cases of abortion, So you always have to ask shilas. Abortion shilas are very, very real. Poskim are makel on abortion. Poskim in America generally are makel against the... Many poskim in America, in our, at least in our yeshiva, are makel on abortion shilas against the Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe would be the most extreme position. That's considered an Issur Ritzicha, and you need some real knowledge. In cases of Tay-Sachs, so they're poskim who are makel. I have a friend who lost a few children, Nebuch. And he got heterim from Rabbonim that now, he knows that they can't have sons based on he and his wife have a genetic disease, they can only have daughters when they've been pregnant with a son, so they have heter to abort. It's not so uncommon. These are very difficult shilas. Very difficult. I had a shilah I dealt with a few weeks ago about someone who they have also a very bad genetic... You should get genetic counseling. You should go before you get married. You should go for genetic testing. It's very, very important. You could solve lots of problems. But you should know that as much as you test for, it is always possible to have some genetic disease that comes up. It could be. Rabbonim Lamaisa are makel today. You have to ask the shilas, but Rabbonim are makel on abortions in many cases. Rav Moshe would not be makel, but Lamaisa, Rabbonim are makel. The Tzitz Eliezer was famous for being makel. Others are makel as well. Fine. So that's the basic discussion of abortion. Not the most pleasant topic, yeah.
Rav Moshe be makel before 40 days?
So it could be yes, because it's still considered Maya Ba'alma. In other words, it doesn't have any halachic status whatsoever. I think the only machmirim before 40 days are those who assume that it's al tashchas hazera. Yeah. What? Luchavos Yair sounds that way. Okay. Rabbi Brander gave the next shir, which was a shir about infertility in halacha. Rabbi Brander's shir began just by defining terms. There's a lot that you have to know in terms of just what are some of the procedures, what type of procedures render a woman a nida, which procedures don't render a woman a nida. The material was very straightforward. I don't know how much we have to go into in terms of this aspect of Rabbi Brander Shear in terms of just the tests, but you're responsible for it nonetheless. And I think actually I forgot. Oh, here it is. So that was the first element. What creates nida, definitions of infertility. Infertility is not uncommon. I could tell you the first night I was ever a rabbi in my shul, so I decided to have office hours. So it was like weird. I had like a line of people waiting outside to ask questions. So the first two or three couples came to ask me questions about birth control. And then the next two or three couples are asking questions about infertility. And I came on and told my wife, like, if the couples could only like ask each other, like, why are you online, it might solve the whole issue. In other words, like people who want heterim for birth control should realize that many couples, one out of every six couples, faces infertility. It's a serious problem. And especially when you're getting married and you're a little bit older, and your fertility is somewhat compromised because of age, you should think very carefully before asking for heterim for birth control. It's not so pashut that it's a good idea. Just without any halachic issues. But it's not pasha that's a good idea because of infertility, which is a very, very serious issue. It's very painful emotionally. It can be painful in terms of just the treatments can be painful. And it's very expensive. It's a very, very expensive procedure. In Israel, everything is covered by Kupat Olam. In America, infertility treatments, some of it is covered by insurance. Very often, very little is covered by insurance. And couples can end up spending thousands and thousands to the tune of $20,000-$30,000. Not so pashut. Okay, so there's a whole bunch of tests that Rabbi brander described. As a general rule, the halacha says that you should test the woman before you test the man, because testing the man involves potential isurim of hashchas asazera. So we try to test the woman first. One thing that is worth just pointing out is that there are different types of tests for the man. There are tests for the man which are testing the actual sperm. And then that's hashchas asazera. There's also tests for the man that they just take a blood test. And when they take the blood test, what they're testing is the amount of testosterone in your bloodstream. That type of test for the man, when they say that you have to test the man after you test the woman, it doesn't mean the blood test, right? You can do a blood test earlier. Okay, fine. There is a difference between IVF, which is in vitro fertilization. Everything is done in a test tube, that they extract an egg from the woman and they take sperm from the man. They put it together in a test tube, then they put it back into the body. There's the more common case is IUI, which is intrauterine insemination. Basically, with sperm is just put into the uterus with a syringe. There's also ICI, that doesn't go as far as the uterus. It goes only to the cervix. Today they have procedures called ICSI IVF, which is that they do IVF directly into the egg itself. It's not that the sperm has to travel at all, it goes straight into the egg. This gives you opportunities with PGD to choose what you want with your baby. And that relates to serious hashgafa questions about man accepting the role of God, something that Rabbi Brander spoke about with this episode in Baba Basra and Daf Yud of Rabbi Kiva and Tornas Rufus HaRasha. In terms of the questions that Rabbi Brander addressed in general, so there's paternity and maternity. How do you define who's the father? How do you define who's the mother? Rabbi Dr. Reichman also spoke about this a bit in his last year. As a general rule, the consensus of poskim is that paternity is based on who the sperm is. We have the Gemara about Nisabar Bambati. That Nisabar Bambati, the Gemara has a question about a Besulam Uberes Mahul Akayin Gadol. The Gemara says it could be it happens Aide Nisabar Bambati. Lamaisa, it's interesting that there is a whole literature that Nisabar Bambati might be impossible. The Mishnah Lamelech discusses this at length. But the Pashta says it might be possible. Actually, I just got an email from Dr. Chudnoff this week about this again, about how it could be, it is possible that Ayyadei, the water, the Zera that's there, somehow is goes deeper into the body, and it is possible, or at least I should say it's theoretically possible, to become pregnant in a bathhouse. The Rishonim have a discussion that maybe Ben Sira was a child of Yirmiyahu and his mother was Nisabar Bambati. A very unfortunate incident. They forced Yirmiyahu Hanavi to do an act of Halashkas HaSazera, and then his daughter went into the same bath and she became pregnant from the father. And Sira's Gematria Yirmiyahu, so it's a Raya Machrachas, etc. And they use this as a Raya again, that's Benohu L'chol Dovar, that's a child for everything. I should point out that the Taz in Evan HaEzer Siman Aleph is not convinced that any of this is a Rai. The Taz says maybe it's only L'chumra, not L'kula. But L'maisa, most poskim assume that you are Mekayim Pur Revu, even if you hold that, like the Taz, that it's not considered B'no L'chol Davar L'kula, but you would be Mekayim Pur Revu, we assume, based on IUI or IVF, or at least IUI, because you're trying. Maybe the mitzvah of Pur Revu is that you're hishtadlus to have children, and by trying to have children, that's what the mincha Yitzchak writes in the Tshuva. When I try to have children, that itself is a kiyum of Pur Revu. There's a whole discussion if a woman wants to get donor sperm. So we assume that it's better to get donor sperm from a non-Jew rather than from a Jew. Dr. Reichman showed some newspaper clippings about someone who had 150 offspring, no? had 150 offspring because he was a professional donor. That's what he did.
How much did he make?
No idea. Never ask them. Okay. Then there's a question about...
Zero of a taller, right? That's not technically zero of a taller, is it?
Yeah.
It is?
Pashtas. And it's only not zero of a taller if the child is going to be miyuchas after me in some ways. If they're going to maintain my anonymity, it's not... Pashtas it is zero of a taller. It's very hard. I don't think anyone... It's even worse than zero of a taller because you're leading to molo ha'aretz zima. It's leading to a concern that maybe brothers will marry sisters. It's ulcer. Okay. Was that clear?
Very clear.
Okay. There is a discussion about posthumous paternity, having children la'achar misa, if they use your sperm, la'achar misa, whether that whether it's considered your child in terms of pattering from Yibum, discussion Lo Dibihuda, the Karen Oira. What about maternity, motherhood? If the egg comes from one woman and the egg is implanted in someone else, so this is a big question. Traditionally, it was assumed based on a Medrash or a Targum Yonason in, where was it, last week's parasha, 2 weeks ago's parasha, about the birth of Dina, that the birth mother is the halachic mother. That was a traditional assumption. Now people are moving back, Pua had a conference, some people moving back to assume that's the genetic mother that is the halachic mother. We should point out, by the way, in terms of IUI and IVF, issues that are becoming more and more prevalent, which is single women who want to become inseminated as an opportunity to have a family. The poskim really frown upon this. Poskim really assume it's a problem. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach goes so far as trying to say that's usur to do this. These are cases that are not so uncommon, that people want to have children through IVF and they're not married yet. Many of the Rabbonim recommend in these situations that what could be done is a woman to freeze her own eggs. A woman, when she's still in childbearing age, towards the end of that time, could freeze her eggs and have her eggs implanted inside her later on. Some Rabbonim recommend this. Again, I'm not saying my own opinions here. I'm just presenting what Machon Pua says.
Freezing the eggs would only work so far because the older they get, the less able they would be to carry those eggs. So...
I think carrying an egg you could do much after your eggs are no longer viable. There are women in their mid-50s who are able to be a host mother. That's the real issue. I once had a case like this. I had a cousin in Israel who's not a religious person at all, very far from being religious. And she was unable to have children. She had no eggs. She mamash had no eggs. So she got a donor egg from a Polish woman in Poland, a Goya. And it was implanted inside her and she had a child. Okay, so is that child Jewish? Is that child Jewish? Well, it's easy to be Megayer, the child. Well, not in the case with my cousin isn't from at all. It can't be Megayer, right? L'chora. Right, that's the big issue today, whether there's a second track of Geirus. Whether there's Geirus. If it's based on genetics, the kid is non-Jewish. If it's based on the birth mother, the kid is Jewish. But generally today, we encourage the person to undergo a Geirus, Machma Safek, no? Well, you can't be Megayer somebody when the parent isn't really religious. These are complicated issues that you guys will have to deal with. Okay, fine. That, I think, is the end of Rabbi Brander's shiur. Rabbi Reichman's shiur, he spoke about risk-taking in halacha. Just very quickly, the issue of risk-taking in halacha, there is a tshuva of the Radvaz. Radvaz discusses a case about can we allow you to have a finger cut off or else someone else will die? What's the din? And the Radvaz distinguishes based on the level of the suffix that's involved. There is a Yerushalmi that we're not exactly sure where the Yerushalmi is, but Lagos Maimini, we're not really sure where Lagos Maimini is, but Lagos Maimini in the back of the Rambam, or Lagos Maimini, the first Constantina, quotes that there's a chi of lahachnas es atzmo l'suffik sakona in order to save someone else from a vaday sakona, no? So if it's only a suffix icon, according to Yerushalmi, there's a chiyuv to enter the suffix to save someone else from Ivadai Sakana. The Sma points on Chayshim Mishpat Tav Chavav, that the fact that the Beis Yosef quotes this Yerushalmi but doesn't quote in Shulchan Aruch shows that the Beis Yosef changed his mind. I have my opinion over here. I think that it doesn't prove the Beis Yosef changed his mind. If you read the Hakdama to the Beis Yosef tells you that the real Halacha Sefer is the Beis Yosef. Shulchan Aruch is only for the Balabatim to chazer all the dinim once every 30 days. You're supposed to read through all Shulchan Aruch once every 30 days and chazer all the dinim. But the real Halacha Sefer should be the Beis Yosef. So the fact that there's something that appears in the Beis Yosef and doesn't make it to Shulchan Aruch, it seems to me is not a raya that he changed his mind. But the question of entering a suffix sakon to save someone else is a real question. Lamaisa, most poskim assume that there's no chiyuv, but if you want to do so, you can. But if it's a very high level sakana, then you're a chasid shayt if you try to do that. You have to know the different levels of sakana. Dr. Reichman then spoke about going to be mevaka chola with someone who has a contagious disease, swine flu, and the like. Is there a difference between a doctor? It could be that for a doctor, we'll say ve'ela funosei esnafsho. He's getting paid, and when I get paid, I'm allowed to enter a little bit of a sakana. Could be my mitzvah v'rapo yirape tells me to enter a little bit of sakana. There's a lot more to discuss about this issue, the chovesh, the medic, to go and enter the line of fire to save somebody else. Is that permitted? That's entering a vaday sakana to save somebody. Is that permitted? So alpi the klalom, it should be forbidden. However, if Yitzhak Zilberstein and others write that lamaisa, this is the deal of being a chovesh. The deal is that, you know, your job is to go and try to help soldiers even when they're in the line of fire, and if you wouldn't do this, the soldiers would not fight with as much energy as they would otherwise, so that's why it's permitted. And kidney donations is entering a suffix sakana to save somebody from a vade sakana. In earlier tshuvas, it said Eliezer felt it was usher because he felt it was a very high level sakana to give up a kidney. Today we assume it's not really usher to do so. There might not be a chiyuv yet. Is bone marrow a chiyuv? Is blood donation a chiyuv? It's hard to be mechayev blood donation because you don't know where it goes to. Bone marrow, Rabbi Bleich seems to imply, might be a chiyuv to donate. There is a few very interesting cases of kidney donation that he mentioned, the Ravitz case and others that Dr. Eichmann went into. There's a lot to say about that. Vaccination is an interesting situation because there I'm entering the suffix sakana in order to save my own self from a vade sakana later on. Again, most poskim assume that vaccination is certainly permitted. There was a story out there that vaccination leads to greater incidence of autism. This is one of the few scientific articles that's been retracted. It's not true. It's mamish not true. The last shiur that Dr. Reisman gave is anticipatory medical halacha by some of the issues that we spoke about already in terms of surrogate motherhood, etc. Some of the rayas, maybe there's agriculture rayas by Yaldosh Sivcha Bezakena that he went into. He also then got into artificial sperm, stuff like that. You could even create sperm from a woman. Who knows? Right? Animal surrogates, ectogenesis. Very interesting cases that will come up later on. These are hard shilas to deal with. Okay, so this is just a very general overview of what we have. If there's any specific questions, I guess we could take them. If not, I'll just wish you Hatzlacha. Test is Tuesday, 1 o'clock. As long as it takes you, usually it doesn't take guys more than 40 minutes. What?
We have to know a lot more detail than you said.
You have to, again, you should know more than I said.